God is a keeping God. And why is this so important? Because there's people out there that'll say that you can lose your salvation in a heartbeat. As a matter of fact, you need to check every hour, make sure you're saved. Now, let's balance that out. Because there's other people that say, well, as long as you utter a short prayer, you're good. You don't have to worry about God the rest of your life. You got your fire insurance, you're in. Okay, I think that's flawed too. But I think we need to recognize that God is a keeping God. In other words, you're going to go through things. You're going to go through seasons where you mess up, and God will keep you. God will keep you in the midst of those things.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, Senior Pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. We're blessed to have one of David McGee's assisting pastors with us today on the program. Welcome, Pastor Neil.
Thanks, Bob. Humbled to be here with you today. And you know what? God is a keeping God. God is a leading God. And we get the opportunity to follow His lead. And so, Bob, I'm asking you the question. I'm asking our listeners the question. Even have to ask myself the question as we look in the Scriptures today. Hey, God is leading. Are we following?
Great question. So let's get right into the teaching. Here's David McGee sharing verse by verse through 1 Samuel 29.
Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 29. Let's do a quick review. Saul is seeking to kill David. David has been on the run for years. Now David has ran to the Philistines of all people and is hiding out there. Now I want you to remember that God did not tell David to go to the land of the Philistines. So I think we can assume a couple of things about David being in the land of the Philistines. Number one, it was not God who led him there. And perhaps at this point, David is either making real bad decisions or we might even be able to use the term backslidden. So let's jump in here. 1 Samuel chapter 29 verse 1 says, "Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain which is in Jezreel. Then the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Then the princes of the Philistines said, 'What are these Hebrews doing here?' And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, 'Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me.'" Verse 4. "But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, 'Make this fellow return that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him, and do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the heads of these men? Is not this David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? So they've got a very real fear. They're saying, look, we're going to end this battle. We're going to be fighting Israelites. And we got this major Israelite fighter that's supposedly going into the battle with us. What's to keep him in the middle of this battle from turning on us? It's a very real fear. Now, what's amazing is that David is in the enemy's camp. David has placed himself at the will and the whim of this ungodly leader. And the amazing thing is, through these people who don't like David, who are challenging him even being there, who are ungodly men, are being used by God to keep David out of a fight he shouldn't be in. The life lesson here, God is a keeping God. God is a keeping God. And why is this so important? Because there's people out there that'll say that you can lose your salvation in a heartbeat. As a matter of fact, you need to check every hour, make sure you're safe. Now, let's balance that out. Because there's other people that say, well, as long as you utter a short prayer, you're good. You don't have to worry about God the rest of your life. You got your fire insurance, you're in. Okay, I think that's flawed too. But I think we need to recognize that God is a keeping God. In other words, you're going to go through things. You're going to go through seasons where you mess up, and God will keep you. God will keep you in the midst of those things. I'm not getting all this theology from this chapter. I'm getting this theology from the whole book. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, "And I'm sure that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus comes back again." You know what that verse tells me? God's a keeping God. Who started the work in you? According to that verse, God did. Who's going to finish the work in you? Well, according to that verse, God is. What's your part? Give yourself over to God. God is able to keep you. He started it. He's going to complete it. And I think a lot of times we don't rest in that verse. Now again, there's the balance of, that doesn't mean you're on coast now, because you still have free will. You still have decisions that you need to make. But it means that God in His ability is able to start something in you and is able to fulfill it. Now here's the thing. Why are you here tonight? Don't answer out loud. But why are you here tonight? See, everybody in this room has a different answer. Some of you are like, well, my kids made me come. And, you know, or my parents made me come. Or my friend just wouldn't let up. So finally, just to make them be quiet, I'm here. Or some of you are here because you're here every Thursday night. But deeper than that, you're here because God is doing a work in you. God is doing a work in you. And see, this is so much cooler than, you know, well, I'm here because, you know, I'm a good person and good people go to church on Thursday night. But, you know, it's cooler than that. It's more awesome than that. You're here because God is doing a work in your life. That's why you're here. Not because you're good people. I'm sorry, I hate to bust your bubble, but the Bible talks about the innate human goodness of man and basically says there is none, okay? That's what it says. Romans 3:10, 3:23 says there's none righteous, no, not one, all fallen short of the glory of God. So you're here because God is doing a work in you. He has started a work in you and God will finish it. Jude 24 says this, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Now, this verse gave me a theological hard time for a while. Because it says that God is able to present you faultless before himself. So I said, okay, God, if you're able to do this, why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you doing it? Why am I not faultless all the times when I'm walking through my life? And God gave me a picture. It's driving down the road kind of thing. And it was like I said, okay, God, I'm glad you forgive me of all my sins because I've asked. And you're welcome to ride in the car. But just don't, you know, be navigating and trying to tell me where to go. I'm just going to drive. And you've promised that I'm not going to stumble, but let me drive. And of course, as I'm driving, directing my life, not really submitted to the will of God and the work of God in my life, guess what happens as I drive down the road? I wind up in the ditch. And then what happens when I wind up in the ditch? I look at God and I say, God, what are you doing, man? You said you were going to keep me out of the ditch. And God says, get away from the steering wheel. I'm able to do this. But you got to quit trying to drive. Because when you try to drive, you're going to mess up. Am I saying that every time you mess up, you're trying to be in charge of your life? Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying. Because think of this. When you mess up, do you think you're really following God at that moment? When you make the bad decisions you make, do you think God's making you make those bad decisions or somehow led you into the... No. That's you, man. That's you. So when you mess up, take the bow. It's yours to take. What about when you do good? That's God. That's God. Because the book says, Philippians 2:13, it says that He puts in you the will to do what's right and to do of His good pleasure. In other words, when you do something good, it's because God is at work in you. The fact that you're here tonight, that is because God put in your heart and in your mind to get in your car, to drive to this place, to be here tonight. And when you don't show up, is that God? No, that's you. You see the difference? Now, for some, you're going, well, bummer. I was feeling all warm and fuzzy about showing up. It's better than you getting a little warm and fuzzy. It's the fact that Creator God is at work in your life. A couple other verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and, what's that word? Finisher. What's that word? Finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, some of you are really getting challenged theologically tonight. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because until you really get this into your head and get this into your heart, you're never going to be able to rest in your faith. You're never going to be able to rest in the Lord. Now, there is a spiritual rest in the Lord that can be a very busy place, but spiritually, it's a restful place. 2 Timothy 2:13 says this, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." Man, what a glorious verse. What a glorious verse. Because I know that many of you have walked around in your life thinking, okay, well, if it's going to be, it's up to me. But God is constantly, always faithful. And according to this verse, even when we're not, the Lord, he'll keep you in the midst of your troubles. Will you be allowed to reap some of what you sow? Oh yeah, no doubt. If you're trusting in Jesus, if you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, I don't think you'll ever really reap what you sow. It may be a partial reaping, and that will be enough. Amen. But the thing is, and we look at this with David, I mean, here he is, he's getting ready to go into a battle against Israel and Saul. This is bad. No matter how it would work out, it would have been bad. Had David been lying to Achish and really planned to go in and attack the Philistines, it would have gone poorly. Because the Philistines, we're going to see what happens. We're going to see who wins, not this week, but in a couple of chapters. It would have been bad. If he had fought with the Philistines, I think, for the rest of his life, he would have regretted it. To be honest, I think that's what David intended to do. I think David had been on the run long enough from Saul that he was bitter enough against Saul that he was ready to do it once and for all to get Saul out of the way. Now, he had his moments of strength where he would not raise his hand against Saul. I don't think this is one of them. Now, I know that some commentators say, well, David was just pulling a ruse. We're going to see a verse in a moment that I think casts light on that. But again, how consoling. David's life doesn't end in chapter 29. Not in chapter 30, not in chapter 31, not even in the whole, we get way into 2 Samuel. You know what that tells me? That God didn't look at David and go, oh, David, you're such a mess up. I'm so done with you. He didn't do that. He looked down and he said, oh man, you got yourself in a world of hurt there, David. I'm going to have to help you out of this one. You know what happens over time? You can begin to trust in the Lord's protection. You may mess up, but God will still lead you. And even when you make a mess of things, God won't turn his back on you and walk away. He'll intervene. He'll intervene in your life even to protect you from yourself. He'll do that. Some of you probably had the experience where you were looking to do something stupid and damaging to yourself, and somehow it just wouldn't work out. That was God. That was God not allowing you to, whatever, buy the fast car you wanted or get the drugs you wanted or find the alcohol you thought you needed. God put the cap on you. He said, no, you can't do that because I know how that'll end up. And he protected you from yourself. What a consolation that is. What a comfort that is.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you are not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, back to David McGee.
Now, verse 6. Then Achish called David and said to him, "Surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and you're going out and you're coming in with me, and the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you." Who is God using to direct David's path at this point? These other Philistines. I'm not sure you're going to like this application. Who is God using in your life to direct your life? Bible studies, pastors, radio, Christian radio, television. He's probably using ungodly people to direct you in your life. That's kind of bizarre, isn't it? But he'll do that. Let me promise you, he'll do that. If God doesn't want you in a certain job anymore, do you realize he'll make that atmosphere so miserable that you begin to look for the job that he has for you? God will lead ungodly people to direct you. And while you're looking around for only perfect people and people that know the Lord to direct you in your life, you know what? You could really miss some stuff. Let me give you one graphic example in my life of this. A few years ago, I was involved in a lot of stuff. I was owned and operated a recording studio and was going out occasionally as a Christian artist and also was on staff at a church. And also, busy life, and also was a private guitar instructor and had been a private guitar instructor for a while and had like 88 students a week. Is fairly busy. And I started going out more and more because God was opening more and more doors. And I was praying about, you know, Lord, life's getting very busy. I probably need to let one of these things go. And it's up to you which one it'll be. So I was praying through this and the manager of that particular location, I was at two locations and kind of regrouped and was more at one location. And the manager at one location was a Christian. The manager at this location was not. And one weekend I'd gone out to a retreat and did teaching and music. It was an awesome time. You know, come back in and he says, yeah, I need to sit down and chat with you. I said, okay. So I sat down and started talking to him. He goes, I know this little Christian thing you're doing is important to you. And I understand that you want to help people improve their lives. And I said, well, get them saved is more exact of what I'm trying to do. But he said, well, I understand that that's important to you. But as you're going out and doing this, you need to remember what is really important in working and providing for your family. And I sat there and I looked at him and I was just amused because I thought, he thinks he just told me to focus on being a guitar instructor. What he just told me is I need to quit. And I need to go focus on the ministry. That's what he said to me. And I had to walk away going, God, that was not the answer to prayer I was thinking. But thank you for answering my prayer. And it was about 2 or 3 days later, I went back to him. I said, dude, I got to quit doing this. I got to quit doing this and step out in faith and see what the Lord has for me. Now, I could have in that position thought, no, I can't. Well, you know, Rob, you're this pagan dude and, you know, I can't really listen to you. You're not going to lead me spiritually, you know. But God sent him. And God has sent other people in my life. We only believe in one life here. Sorry if you're new. I mean, you're already going, slipping off the edge now. Reincarnation is not scriptural. It says it's appointed unto man to live and to die once. Praise God. How would you like to die over and over again anyway? That's not good. So we're talking about reincarnation. We're talking about hearing from God through others. And if you think that God only speaks through Bible studies and through devotions and through pastors, you've probably been missing the Lord in your life. Keep your ears open. Watch how God will direct you. Because God is directing David at this point through these unbelievers. Verse 7 says, Achish continues and says, therefore return now and go in peace that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. So he says, you're done. You're done. God is leading David. Here's the life lesson. God is a leading God. God is a leading God. Do you understand that you can actually pray about something and God will answer that prayer? You can ask God, God, do you want me to take this other job? God, do you want me to move here? God, do you want me to move there? And God will answer that prayer. As a matter of fact, it honors him for you to go to him and ask him. It honors the Lord, and the Lord will lead you. And you know what? The Lord knows how... Okay, let me make this personal. The Lord knows how thick-headed I am sometimes. And he realizes how strongly he has to speak to me sometimes. And guess what? He's willing to speak strongly to me. So whatever it takes to communicate to you, God is willing to speak in that manner. He's willing to speak through the people that are presently in your life to lead you. And be careful that you don't arrogantly assume what God wants you to do in your life. Because there's been times when I thought, well, God wants me to do this. And maybe it was something good. But it was not the Lord. God was wanting me to do something else. He wants to lead you and speak to you tonight. Not just some nebulous, well, life's purpose, life's calling sense, but I mean in a daily sense. He wants to lead you. God is a leading God. And what happens over life is you can begin to trust that. And the more you trust that, the more God will lead you. And the more you quit fighting that, the more you'll walk in the blessings of God. Here we see David in a backslidden state, willing to go fight against Israel, and God's still leading him. Look at verse 8. So David said to Achish, "But what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I've been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" This verse is a very interesting verse, and I think it's a very key verse in this chapter. And here's why. I think it reveals David's heart. I think David really was planning to go fight against Israel. Now, I could be wrong, but there's another problem. If you think, well, maybe he was going to still attack him from the back, you got a problem. He just called Achish his lord and king. That seems to indicate all is not well with David. I mean, not only is he willing to call Achish as king, he's also calling him as lord. And that's a problem. Whenever we start to let other things direct our lives, whenever time we put something ahead of God and we make something else our lord, we're engaged in idolatry. And it can be a lot of good things. It can even be good things, but God doesn't want anything above him. He doesn't want us to refer to somebody else as our lord. Well, let's take the flip side for a second. What if David was wanting to go into this battle to attack the Philistines and protect Saul? Well, you got a kind of a different lesson, but there's a lesson even then. What's that? God didn't want him to protect Saul. God didn't want him to help him. God was saying, no, you're not going to help Saul this time. You may have helped him out of a lot of jams. You may have fought a lot of battles for him, but you're not fighting for him this time. For those of you in leadership or in ministry, here's a tough one. There's some fights God doesn't want you to fight. Our benevolence team is kind of one of those situations because they have a heart for the Lord. Everybody that ever comes in with a problem, they want to bless them financially. Problem is, that's not what God wants to do. So a lot of times, somebody might come in from just years of making bad decisions, and simply handing somebody some money is not going to fix it. What we want to do and what we want to help them do is to learn to make better decisions so they don't find themselves repeatedly back in this position. And that's a difficult place to be. Because, you know, some people come in, they get attitudes. Oh, I thought you were Christian. You know, and all this different stuff. But you better believe that these people pray. God, what do you want us to do with this situation? It's not always the thing to do to jump in and rescue somebody. David, I think, might have been willing to jump in and rescue Saul if we're going that way, but God said, no, you're not going to rescue him. Maybe you've been in situations in your life where you thought somebody else should have rescued you. Maybe you learned the wrong lesson. Maybe you should be asking yourself how you wound up in that position to begin with. I'm not trying to be harsh or hard, but we're all living and learning. A lot of times God puts us in a place where we're supposed to learn through the hard lessons. And if you've been here more than once, you know my heart. We've got a whole closet place to give clothes to people. We've got a whole food pantry to give food. We give literally thousands and thousands of dollars every year to help people make their expenses. But obviously, we have to prayerfully consider who we do and who we don't. So, just like it may have been in David's heart to rescue Saul, that wasn't God's plan. And this is a tough one. I mean, it is a tough one in ministry.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, praying through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.